We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and today we're going to be talking about land and landowners in Texas. I have two guests with me today. I'll let them introduce themselves.
My name's Tom Vandeveer. I'm a retired attorney and have the pleasure of owning Llano Springs Ranch.
And I'm Jay Clayburgh. I'm Director of Conservation Initiatives at Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation and co-founder of Explore Ranches.
We'll be hearing about both of those things coming up in this conversation. First, Tom, let me just start with you. I know your family has owned a ranch near Junction for a couple of generations now. And can you tell us a little bit about Llano Springs Ranch and your family's connection to the land?
Absolutely. Llano Springs Ranch is about 4,600 acres. It's located on the headwaters of the South Llano River near Junction, Texas. It's typical hill country land, very rough but scenic. Lots of resources in the form of water and wildlife and that kind of thing. We've, as I said, had the pleasure of owning it since 1994, so this is our 25th year. When I say we, the original purchase was made by me, by my sister, and by my dad, and we all pooled our resources and made this a family project. So we had several things in mind in purchasing it. We wanted to create a focal point for the family. We wanted to take a piece of rough, undeveloped land and mold it into our own personal vision. We wanted to be able to share the land with other people and have them experience what we do. And of course wanted to make a good economic investment in this. So again, very much our pleasure to own it and share it with others.
You really love it, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So Jay, ranches like Llano Springs and other ranches across Texas can really be undiscovered treasures. I mean, 95% of land in Texas is privately owned. A lot of people don't have access to those kind of ranches. And I understand that you're aiming to change that with a new venture called Explore Ranches. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we started Explore Ranches about a year ago, and one of the first people that I talked with was Tom, and he has just a unique piece of property on the South Llano River and has been with hunters and nature lovers, been trying to share that property with others for a few years, and we felt like there were others out there like Tom who had access to lodging and some really historic, picturesque parts of Texas that should be shared with others for a price and hopefully generate some additional revenue that otherwise might be untapped for landowners and allow them to hold on to property for multiple generations. And so we're providing exclusive access to lodging and to almost 100,000 acres of private lands in Texas and Colorado.
Okay. So I know that Llano Springs is going to be one of those properties. And tell us a little bit about the type of things people could experience there. And then maybe touch on some other ranches in Texas and the types of experiences you're going to be offering.
Sure. The focus is not just on the accommodations like other platforms. There are other platforms out there that that provide that kind of access that we're familiar with, sharing our homes and our apartments and other things. This is really about not just the accommodations, but land and what people can do on these really wild and scenic places. And so, at Tom's place, for instance, you've got the headwaters of the Llano River where people can canoe and catch and release fish. And if you're a millennial, stand up paddleboard. You can bike.
Or yoga,
you can,
right?
Yeah, yoga. You can bike. You can hike. In West Texas, we've got some places that are 15,000-35,000 acres with mountains in the middle of them. In Steamboat Springs, we have a property that really is a rent your own ranch type of a setup, with complete with staff and chef and horses and really the ability
you're
to
you're not going
to
find run. That on Airbnb, right?
No. So that's really what we were trying to tap into is, I grew up outdoors. I grew up on a ranch, and really I think Tom might share this with me. We want to have other people be inspired by that access to private lands, because there's so many things that it does for all of us. And so that's kind of the gist of the business.
And Tom, that's a perfect opportunity to ask you, why are you partnering with Explore Ranches?
Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, I've known Jay and his family for a long time and think very highly of him, and jumped at the opportunity to join this venture with him. I think part of it relates to our business model. We're not your typical ranch livestock type operation. We're based around wildlife and conservation and water, and so our business model gets its revenue from recreation. And what Jay has put together fits into that very nicely. And it's interesting to think about recreation because it's non-consumptive. If I have a hunter out that harvests a deer, I have one less deer to let somebody else harvest. And if we put cattle on the ranch and the grass plays out, that's our limiting factor. But with recreation such as what Jay is providing, it's non-consumptive. There is no limit to what we can do except time. And so it fits our business model very nicely.
And you know, this made me think, it's about relationships. And we were talking before we started recording, Tom, about the Texas Wildlife Association, about other organizations that you're involved in. And it really is about leveraging some of these relationships, isn't it?
Absolutely. Tom and I met through a series of associations with Texas Wildlife Association and our families. And you know, the key, I think, to all of this is leveraging not just those relationships, but skill sets. And it's something that we'll talk about a little bit later today is with Jesse Griffiths and with others who may have an expertise in trail running or hiking or wellness. We're trying to match those skill sets with landowners' properties and really show what people as paying travelers and customers can do on some of these places. And also hopefully they leave with a skill set, whether it's in wild game preparation or foraging or just how to live a more healthy lifestyle, that a lot of that comes from access to open space and understanding our place in the natural world.
And you come to this with such an interesting perspective as a landowner yourself, as the co-founder of this venture, but in your professional life as director of conservation initiatives for Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, you also have that perspective that you bring to the table. What are you hoping that people take away from the experience that they have on Tom's ranch or any other ranch?
I'm hoping that, and this comes from personal experience, you know, I hope there's an understanding of what the value that private land and that private land stewards provide to all of us, to healthy environment, to flowing streams and aquifers that provide drinking water for all of us and to wildlife. And so there's a piece of kind of connection to people and to the resource, and also at the same time some disconnection to the modern world. And you know, there's science behind this. There's a book called The Nature Fix, and a neurologist studies the time spent outdoors and the connection to brain activity. And the more time you spend outdoors, you think about it in concentric circles, the further you get away from modern society, the broader your thoughts are, the more creative you are. We've all, I think, around this table have felt that feeling, and there's research behind that. And I think that hopefully, you know, we're gonna change people's lives by having that connection and really just creating that space for them to either connect with each other or with the outdoors and hopefully disconnect from just the fast paced nature of our lives today.
Well, you were talking about, you know, land stewardship, and certainly stewardship, Tom, is at the heart and soul of everything you do. You talked about at the beginning, you know, wanting to take that ranch and make it the best you could. And as a matter of fact, you were honored with a Lone Star Land Steward Award. which is the top stewardship award that Texas Parks and Wildlife gives out. And I remember, you know, I worked at Parks and Wildlife for many, many years, and I remember when that whole discussion was happening with the Private Lands Advisory Board about Lone Star Land Steward Program, and the big purpose of it was to help explain to people who live in the cities why that private land out there in the country is so important to everything they do, to the lands and the waters. Not only have you won Lone Star Land Steward Award, but you also were honored with the statewide Aldo Leopold Award, incredibly prestigious honor. And a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people understand what it takes to manage land. You know, people think it's just out there, it's nature, nothing has to, you don't have to do anything. But, you know, those of us around the table certainly know that's not the case. Can you explain or talk to us a little bit about some of the stewardship practices that take place on your ranch to keep the land healthy?
Sure. That's a very, very broad question. I could probably talk for the next 3 hours about that, but to try to break it down, to me, the management of the land all has to do with balance and achieving balance. That you balance the amount of grass to the number of cows you put on, the carrying capacity of the land to the amount of wildlife you carry. It's just all across the board, it's a question of balance. And if you take too much from the land, it'll fail you. And so you have to give back to the land. And that's the key to the management. The details of it is, you know, when we bought the land, it was probably a 95% cedar canopy. Cedar is a biological desert. It doesn't produce much food value for wildlife.
And it makes us sneeze.
It makes us sneeze. We're all suffering that right now. It takes a tremendous amount of water, and it provides some wildlife cover, but that's about the only redeeming benefit of cedar. So we cleared about 2,800 acres of cedar off the land and have maintained it. We run fires through the pastures to keep the regrowth cedar out. We also hand cut. The results are that beneficial vegetation has come back, grasses have come back, the wildlife flourishes, the water resources flourish. So by going to that effort and taking care of the land, the resources flourish. And that's the key to it. And there are many, many, many components to it. As I said, I could talk for hours and hours, but that's the basics. It's a marvelous pleasure to have people come out and begin to learn about that and begin to understand that cedar we removed created more water into the Llano River and into the aquifers, and that in turn provides water for them at their faucet. And it's the connection there, as Jay said, is interesting to watch people discover. And it's a lot of fun to share the place with folks. Watch them enjoy it.
Of course, you don't do it for the awards.
Absolutely not, but they were very flattering.
That's my next question. I mean, what did it mean to you to first to be honored with the Lone Star Land Steward Award and then the Aldo Leopold Award?
Well, it's, as I said, very flattering and meant a lot to us. We had a couple of very fun years with interviews and so on after those awards. I think it also creates an obligation, though, to pass it on, to teach others about the stewardship efforts. And that's part of what we do by hosting folks at the ranch. And so the flattery was there, but there's an obligation goes with it, too, and we recognize it and live by it.
Okay. So, Jay, I mean, you literally grew up in this. So you grow up understanding what it is to be a landowner, the responsibility, the stewardship. And in recent years, you've had the experience of starting the Stewards of the Wild program. A couple of years, a young professionals organization that the foundation, you know, does. And I know you must have run into a lot of people that didn't really understand that. Has that been your experience? Do people really understand? Do city people really understand the role of landowners? And why do you think it's important that they do understand?
You know, I used to think it was just people that grew up in cities that didn't necessarily understand that connection between, you know, aquifers and native grasses and wildlife habitat and clean air and food and fiber. But honestly, it's even people that grew up in rural America because it's almost like living in a city like New York and never going to the Statue of Liberty because it's just there. And so I think for a lot of people, you turn the water faucet on and the water comes out, whether you're in rural Texas or you're in the city, and they don't really understand the connection between open space and what that does for availability and quality of water. But what I have learned over the last few years is whether you grew up, especially as you know this next generation grew up in, let's say, rural Texas, and then because the jobs are in the city, that's where you moved, that especially in a place like Texas, it's 95% privately owned, and then that 5%, only about half of that is actually accessible to the public because the other half is owned by the GLO or the University of Texas system, so it's not necessarily accessible to all of us. That access and exposure is something that you really just don't have as Texans. And, you know, if you live in a city like Austin, you've got a lake and you've got some parks, but when you're talking about big space, you know, thousands of acres outside of the state park system and wildlife management areas, you're really talking about, you know, very little land. And so I think that's what I've been trying to do. I think, you know, if I'm honest with myself, I'd like to say it'd be my whole life, but let's say, you know, 20 or 30 years, that just exposing people to the outdoors, frankly, and whatever that means, you know, if that's hunting, if it's paddling, if it's cycling, just somehow engaging with the outdoors and the natural world, because it's easy to get kind of caught up in an urban environment and your electronics and forget what we're all doing here, and that unless we take care of it, that, you know, Tom's a very good example of thinking in multiple generations. I think we get caught in thinking, you know, the next week or year out, or, you know, multiple years out. That's something I learned, and I think that's maybe in my genetics, is I think in, like, not just decades, but almost in centuries. And I hope that people, through what we're doing with Explore Ranches and what Tom's doing and these other landowners, that they start thinking a little bit more longer term.
You were talking about even in rural areas that people don't understand, you know, what's there. I was reflecting as you were saying that about our own Dripping Springs right outside of Austin, and I raised my kids there, moved away about 10 years ago, and I came through not too long ago, and I could not believe the development that has happened from Dripping Springs to Oak Hill. I mean, it's mind-boggling what has happened in just 10 years. And that, I mean, obviously as each generation passes, more family ranches are being divested closer to the cities. Many have subdivided, they've become commercial development. Tom, how is your family dealing with that pressure? Because I imagine you're feeling that too.
Absolutely. I'd like to see this ranch be in our family for many generations to come, and it's difficult to accomplish. You look at first the causes of why fragmentation is happening, and we've got increasing population, and everybody would like to have a little piece of the country, I think, and so ranches are being subdivided. You can blame a lot of it on the sheer value of these ranches, that people are cashing them in just to have the funds. Estate taxes have been a big culprit in the past. The situation's improved a bit now, but there's still a problem in succession of these ranches. And then just changing interests of future generations. And so within our family, you know, from a legal standpoint, we've created this complicated maze of family limited partnerships and LLCs to allow us the means to pass this down to the next generation. I find it very unfortunate we have to go through that complexity. It ought to be as simple as, you know, we have a way of easily passing it through the generations, and we don't. And so it's difficult. I think beyond that, maintaining the sustainability of these ranches from an economic standpoint is good, because if future generations feel like they have to contribute to the cost of maintaining a ranch out of their pocket, they're less likely to do it. If the ranch is sustainable by its own means, then that gives a better chance that it will remain in the family. I think that teaching people and teaching a land ethic, whether it's my own children and grandchildren to get them involved in the ranch and let them understand the connection to the land, or whether it's the public through what Jay is trying to accomplish, that to teach that stewardship and that land ethic and the value of these open spaces and ranches to the general public is one of the better deterrents to subdivision and one of the better ways to preserve the value of these ranches. So again, not an easy answer, lots of factors involved, but that's what we're doing.
Okay. So Jay, you could say that your family kind of wrote the book about how to keep land and families for generations. And of course, the King Ranch has an international brand, is an international brand for land stewardship, and it's just one of the most iconic brands and ranches out there. How was your own family's experience informing what you were doing with Explore Ranches?
I think one of the things that we're fortunate to have, and honestly, I think a little bit of it is luck, is the time that ranch was formed was a time, especially in South Texas, where you could put together big pieces of property. And the person who put it together happened to have the name King, and King Ranch sounds great. And we've had 170 years of trial and error to build a brand with the sole purpose of keeping what we call the home ranches together. And so we've diversified our income, but it's taken, you know, 170 years to put together. And so what I've seen with my work with, even with Parks and Wildlife Foundation, in actually digging into property management and having to, you know, lease out hunting rights and deal with oil and gas operators and really try and piece together revenue enough to pay for the property taxes and then improvements like building fence and improving wildlife habitat, is if we could essentially provide that same service of a brand to multiple ranches, not just in Texas but around the country, and then leverage what we have, which is size, but fragmented among all these ranches. So I said we have about 100,000 acres amongst all these ranches, and then now you've got a place to go, which is our website, exploreranches.com, and some, you know, standardized branding and services, then hopefully we can sort of replicate that model and that model of sustainability for other folks.
You know that sooner or later I'm going to bring it back to the Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and Explore Ranches is partnering with Parks and Wildlife Foundation on the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign. What are you hoping to get out of that partnership?
You know, the way I look at Parks and Wildlife Foundation is, you know, I didn't know about Parks and Wildlife Foundation before I started, to be honest with you. And in the last 5 years, I think that the foundation has done a really good job of generating awareness for what it does and for public spaces in Texas. And if you look at Texas in particular, every single acre, whether it's Big Bend National Park or State Park or the National Seashore or, you know, forest in East Texas, has a tie to private landowners or philanthropy. They were private individuals who stood up and said, you know what, this should be protected. And that's unusual. It's not the way that most open space in the Western United States has been protected, at least, you know, by federal and state entities. And so I see that public-private partnership as essential, and Explore Ranches as just another, you know, partner in that effort. And so we've got a great experience. We're here today with this podcast at Daidue. Jesse Griffiths is an award-winning chef and has specifically focused on educating the public about wildlife and preparing wild game, and has a school called The New School, which has over the last 9 years or so taken people out hunting.
The and New then School of Traditional Cookery.
Traditional Cookery. Yeah. And really taken them from, you know, hunting all the way through to processing and then preparing. And so I approached Tom with the idea of let's marry that idea at Llano Springs and provide people with an experience, and what we'll be doing with Parks and Wildlife Foundation and their We Will Not Be Tamed campaign is providing one of eight slots on that trip in April 26th to the 28th of this year.
So that's where I get to shamelessly plug becoming a Parks and Wildlife Foundation member, because if you do become a member, you're going to be eligible to be drawn to win that really great experience. So y'all are about to talk to Jesse about that today, is that right?
We are. Okay. So we've got most of the details lined up. Jesse and his team will come out to Tom's place. We'll have positions, individual paid, or individually ticketed positions on this experience available for about a total of eight people, and arrive on the first day, and Jesse's going to prepare all of our meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and throughout the weekend we'll do some foraging. And so Tom, as he mentioned, in the Hill Country you actually have a lot of plants like cactus and
nopalitos
and other things that we can utilize in preparation of the food. And Jesse and his team, along with Tom, will educate people about sustainability and about foraging and meal preparation. And so it's a great way for people to come out to the country and learn about cooking and have an amazing time on what I think is one of the most beautiful places and rivers in Texas.
So you mentioned that we're on the back porch of Didui, and it's right before the lunch rush, so you're starting to hear some activity of tables filling up. So, and Tom, have you ever done anything like this on your ranch? Is this going to be brand new for you?
The cooking school?
Yeah.
This will be brand new for us, yes. So looking forward to it.
Where can people find out about this?
If they go to exploreranches.com, we have an events tab, and there it lists this experience along with two more in 2019.
And just a reminder again, if you become a member, just go to wewillnotbetamed.org, and you'll be eligible to win a spot at the table for this. So I want to thank you both very much for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.